From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast to the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Leora and Channing Hill on the outside of Serengeti Empress, who digs in toward the rail. It's these two, Ladyapolis Third, the others with plenty of work to do. It's down to these two and Serengeti Empress, who's holding off the challenge of Leora as they come down to the line. Serengeti Empress has taken the Kentucky Oaks.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Kentucky Downs here in the month of July. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, that is the Baron and the Pontiff, together in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you with us for the next couple of hours. Everyone tuning in on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201, and all of you streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. Happy to have you with us as we embark upon a very busy program. 97 days, 5 hours, and just 35 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And JT, here we go again. Another massive weekend of racing coast to coast, especially at Saratoga and at Del Mar, where you have all that great stakes action and win-in-your-end implications for the Breeders' Cup on the line again today.
Yeah, we've got a full slate at both tracks, and it's going to be a very exciting Saturday. To watch these horses run, I'm particularly interested in Vanderbilt and watching Matoli. He's been training like a bomb, and going to be interesting to see if he can overcome the rail and the competition to win that race.
We haven't had a whole lot of time over the past several weeks to talk about that Breeders' Cup Sprint Division, but this is probably a good time to do it here today because of the fact that you do have that A.G. Vanderbilt, the grade one at Saratoga that you mentioned, and Matoli, who has been so brilliant, not only sprinting, but last time out winning the Met Mile at Belmont Park, stretching out and winning it that day. But you also have the grade one Bing Crosby out at Del Mar today, and that's a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Sprint Division. So those two grade one sprint races going to weigh heavily on the minds of people who are looking toward that Breeders' Cup Sprint later this year.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the Bing Crosby being in California where the Breeders' Cup's going to be held, that's going to carry a lot of weight. And it's an interesting field. You've got horses coming from Florida and New York, so it's not just the local horses, and people are going to be spying that. We can ask our guest Stanley Huff about his horse Recruiting Ready, who's very talented, and I imagine he ducked Matoli and went out to California.
Yeah, maybe so. Stanley Huff going to join us right around 8:15 Eastern this morning. He is represented not only by Recruiting Ready in that Bing Crosby, but he also has Global Campaign in this afternoon's Grade 2 Jim Dandy at Saratoga. So he has action on both coasts, and the 71-year-old who has had a lot of success in his career is back on top of the game. He's won more than 2,000 races in his career, and he's looking to add to that total later today.
Yeah, well, the post time for the Bing Crosby is 8:30 Eastern time, so Stanley will probably hit the sack right after that, right? And just a little
spoken
old guy
like
humor.
A former horse trainer too, right?
Yeah. Who's not quite 70, but on the way. And it's great to have that opportunity. A lot of times you're kind of stuck running in a particular race that fits in the horse's schedule or whatever. But in this case, Stanley had an option and he took it. So it's going to be a whirlwind day for him. global campaign, a very talented horse, and has a big shot this afternoon in the Jim Dandy.
We will spend plenty of time talking about those races throughout the program here this morning. We're also going to be joined at the end of the show by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who you can catch every single afternoon, Wednesday through Friday, on our Express Bet Radio program, along with the Pontiff. Big A is going to be with us toward the end, right around 9:40 Eastern this morning, and he'll look ahead to the big races at Saratoga today as we continue our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series later this afternoon. That's all presented by visitbarbados.org, and you can tune in 5:30 Eastern time to hear our exclusive coverage of the Jim Dandy, of the AG Vanderbilt, and all the great action at Saratoga later today. That comes up 5:30 Eastern.
Yeah, the Big A certainly has his opinions of these races today, so it'll be interesting to see what the racing surface is like, because yesterday was a little funky with the storm we had. It started out muddy, got better as the day went on. The rail was very dead yesterday. Early reports this morning on Twitter from some of the clockers and trainers are that the surface is really good this morning and the horses are bouncing over it. So that's a great sign. And that was weird this week when we had that deluge that nobody was expecting. It wasn't forecasted.
Were you surprised that they canceled the whole card?
Not really. Not if you saw the racetrack.
Yeah. I know it was bad. But we've seen bad storms in Saratoga historically throughout the years. And it's never led to this type of drastic cancellation.
Well, I think they had no preparation. You know, it came from no place. It was not forecasted. And the clouds just showed up unannounced. And, you know, it was like that day. The four-star Dave, do you remember that day?
Yeah.
I mean, they said, oh, you know, we might get a little sprinkle here or there. we got a little sprinkle, all right.
A deluge. Yeah.
I mean, we were just like wet noodles coming out of Saratoga.
Right.
And they ran the four-star Dave in the biggest storm. I've never seen a turf race run under those conditions. I mean, that was amazing to watch those horses run in the rain on the grass, you know, and just annihilated the course. But, yeah, it just came out of nowhere. It was a big surprise to everybody. The announcer had tweeted out, Larry Colmus, the first race, which was a steeplechase race, a beautiful photo, sun shining, night. He says, looks like it's going to be a great day at Saratoga today. And then, you know, fifth race or something, he's coming on saying, well, we're sorry, but the races have been canceled. So yeah, and I said, this tweet aged well.
Yeah,
it was good for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, the meteorologists in upstate New York missed that one, and it did cancel the racing. But they are racing this afternoon, and I mentioned that Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, also the Grade 2 Bowling Green as part of our coverage today. Again, 5:30 Eastern. If you're looking to tune in on Sirius XM, you can tune in on Sirius Channel 138, different channel than you're listening to right now, Sirius 138, XM 201. And, of course, you can always stream us live on our website at horseracingradio.net for that coverage at 5:30 Eastern, all presented by visitbarbados.org. Jude, this is also PDJF Day across America, a day to give back to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And so many of the jockeys around the country will be giving back to the fans with autograph signings and special events when you go out to your local racetrack. It will take place at racetracks all over America. You can also send out a tweet if you want to support PDJF. If you can't get to a racetrack today, but you still want to help disabled riders, we encourage you to tweet the word, text, and text the word jockey to 50555. That's 50555. Simply text the word jockey to that number, and you will automatically donate $10 to the PDJF. And $10 might not sound like much, but if enough people do it, those add up, and any bit of support you can give to disabled riders that would certainly be appreciated on this particular day, PDJF Day across America.
Yeah, a lot of activities at racetracks across the country, and check out your local track and go and support if you can. Of course, jockey karaoke tonight at Saratoga. The Big A's been harping on it
tomorrow night.
All week long about the post times, and it's supposed to be a 7 o'clock start for the karaoke, but I think the last race goes at 7:15 or something.
Right. Well, they'll get started a little bit later.
Yeah.
I've been part of those events in the past and helped with some MC duties and things like that. and they'll just wait a little bit and let people get in there, have a few cocktails, and then as soon as the jocks can get over, they'll kick it off then. But should be a great night.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always a lot of fun. If you're in Saratoga, make sure you check that out tomorrow night. All right, so here's what we're going to do today. Going to be a little bit of a different type of program. Let me give you the poll question first, because you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter. And this poll question kind of plays into the things that have been happening in the sport over the past several months. How should horse racing, or how should the horse racing industry react when criticized? And this is something that we've talked about over the past couple of shows, especially a few weeks ago when I mentioned the fact that I don't think racing does a good enough job of promoting the good things that we do, the positive things. So how should horse racing, the horse racing industry, react when criticized? That's our poll question at HRN on Twitter. Four options that you can weigh in on. We'll make it real easy for you. Number one, with immediate drastic changes, knee-jerk, if you will. Number two, step back, take a look at the situation, launch a study. Number three, defend itself by promoting the positives. And number four, ignore the critics, do nothing. Those are the four choices. How should horse racing and the horse racing industry react when criticized? At HRN on Twitter. I mentioned this would be a different type of show. So often we hear people say, you know what, the fans never have a voice. We never get a chance to weigh in on what we feel is the way to handle things. Well, that's one way you can do it, is voting on the poll question. Another way is we're going to open up the phone lines this morning, and you are going to be the star of the show. HRN Nation will be the star of this show from about 8:35 to 9:35. We're going to have 1 hour. Jude and I will open up the phone lines in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. You will get the chance to call in to the Equine Forum. We don't do this very often. We haven't done it in a very long time. You'll have that opportunity this morning from about 8:35 to 9:35. So get ready to call. Several topics we can discuss. Certainly the poll question is one. We can talk about the leading three-year-olds in the country. We saw Maximum Security win the Haskell last weekend, pointing for the Travers. We'll see several top horses get back in action in the Jim Dandy later today, several top three-year-olds. So if you want to talk about the top three-year-old in the country, we can do that. That's a wide-open division, as is the Breeders' Cup Classic division. If you want to talk about the Breeders' Cup Classic division, we can have that debate and that discussion when you call into the program this morning. And I thought, Jude, this would be kind of fun too. If people want to call in, with this being PDJF Day, if they want to call in and let us know about an experience that they have had, or maybe their kids have had, going to the racetrack and meeting their favorite jockey, when that jockey took time to visit with them for even a couple of minutes, to sign an autograph, to say hello, to take a picture, anything like that that kind of made your day, let us know. Or if there is if you haven't met your favorite jockey yet, if there's a jockey you still want to meet, let us know who that is too. I thought that might be another interesting topic that people could weigh in on, with this being PDJF Day across America.
Yeah, we might be able to set you up with somebody.
Yeah, who knows?
Right.
Maybe so. So do that. We'll open up the phone lines at 8:35 Eastern. So be thinking along those lines as to what you want to talk about when you give us a call here on the Equine Forum this morning. Going to get to a short break. We'll come back. We are going to visit with Stanley Huff. We'll talk about his two horses he has going in the Greatest Stakes at Del Mar and at Saratoga. We'll do that next, right after we pause. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention, Kentucky Breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky Breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky Breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup win and you're in the Turf Sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky Bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America. and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Eighth of a mile to go. Recruiting Ready tries to put him away. Now he extends to a length and a half lead. Quixote can't reach him. Sweet on the ladies, destined for third. Recruiting Ready to win the Gulfstream Park Sprint by 2.5.
And now from the back of the pack, Sir Winston is getting going too, and he's rolling down the center of the racetrack, coming down to the final 16th. It is Global Campaign holding on to the lead. Sir Winston trying hard late, but not going to catch Global Campaign, who won the Peter Pan.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. A couple of outstanding calls there. Recruiting Ready winning the Gulfstream Park Sprint earlier this year, and Global Campaign taking the Peter Pan last time out. Both of those are trained by 71-year-old Stanley Huff, who has had so much success in this sport, winning more than 2,000 races in his career. As a matter of fact, his win total closing in on 2,200 victories. Those runners have earned more than $45 million in purses, and he's no stranger to winning a graded stake or two. He's done it several times throughout that career. We thought it would be appropriate, as we get ready to welcome Stanley Huff to the program, that he would be our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris on this Saturday morning. So we will welcome Stanley to the show and congratulate him on that honor this morning. Stanley, congratulations, and looking forward to seeing those horses strut their stuff later this afternoon.
Thank you very much, and obviously we are too.
I can imagine. Now, you're staying in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the Jim Dandy, we'll start there then. The Jim Dandy Global Campaign looking really, really good in the Peter Pan. Tell us a little bit about him and how he's coming up to this race.
He's coming up to it good. You know, we missed some training with him along the way. He suffered a foot injury in Florida, and so we kind of nursed that along and got him to the Peter Pan, and then kind of re-injured it, a quarter crack, and got that hopefully taken care of, but did miss a little more time. But he's able to get a few nice works here at Saratoga, so we're hoping that that puts him back in the right path.
He's such a cool horse, and you've done an excellent job with him. I was telling somebody the other day, the nice thing about him is you know when he's running, you have him right because you don't run him if he's not right. And I think that that's a tribute to you and what you do and what you've done over the years. But he must be a really willing horse to train. It seems like you can kind of put him right back into his program when you get him right.
He is. He works about as good as you want him to. And, you know, in the past I was able to get him ready and before the Peter Pan, I was able to, you know, one time put him with a lead horse or something, and he, he would, just get, let him settle, and then he'd go on about his business. And this time I wasn't really able to. I'd planned to do it right before the week before this race, but it was right at that time when we had record degree heats, he worked on the day they canceled races, actually. But in the morning, it was here at Saratoga, was pleasant, but I didn't want to overdo it. So he had a nice steady 101-1 or something on the Saratoga training track, and galloped out very good. Saez was on him and thought he felt very good. So I think hopefully that's good enough to put him where he wants to be.
Stanley, so many trainers have come on this show, and they'll say that the key to being a good horse trainer is patience. And you're obviously very patient. You've had to be with a horse like Global Campaign, who is now 3-for-4 lifetime, his only loss coming in the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream back in March. Can it be a little frustrating for a trainer, though, when you have a horse that appears to be this talented and this good, and little hiccups along the way keep you from moving forward with a horse like that?
It is. He had a kind of a setback as a 2-year-old. So he never made the races. And then you're always kind of catching up because you're always running in races where horses have a lot more experience. But he showed so much talent from the beginning. Horse like him it's what keeps you into the business, really and truthfully, to find one like him. He seems to be loaded with talent. He's a typical colt, and he's kind of maturing as he goes, but he's had a lot of play in him they make you wait on certain times, but again, he's pretty easy to train when, to get him ready, because he will give you, if he's at all able to, he'll give you a very good effort.
He's the kind of horse that you can look forward to having for a while. And your horses often have careers, not just meets. There's a lot of trainers, they have a horse that runs great for a while and then you never hear from him again. But your horses seem to last, and it's got to be exciting for you to think about not only the finishing up this year, but next year and the year after that. I mean, this horse seems like he's got the right temperament to race for a while.
I think he does. I hope he makes a major sire. I think he's got the pedigree and the talent. So I would love to see him, race through his 4-year-old year and then go on to greater and better things, And that's my hope for him. And I do think he has the talent and the pedigree to make him a major sire.
Well, Stanley, sitting there with just that one loss in his 4 lifetime starts, this is a wide open year for the 3-year-olds in this 3-year-old division. And if you're looking down the road to what might be a 3-year-old championship, a Global Campaign, if he can start stacking up some wins in some of these big races this fall, maybe can throw his hat into the ring. Is that something that ever crosses your mind as a trainer to think about, okay, let's get this horse in the right spots, and maybe if things break our way, we can win a championship?
Well, obviously, you always think, in the clouds, you don't want to ever say that, but you always are thinking it, So you kind of shoot for the moon, in all cases, and maybe you come back to reality after a goat. But one with this talent, you always hope for that. I have no idea how where his best distance would be, I really don't. I know he's got enough speed to win going short, and he has gone 1.8 miles, so I really don't, I honestly can't say. Some horses I think, the longer the better, but he just does everything so easy that I honestly don't know. It would be interesting. And obviously, if he were to run good, and came out of it good, you'd have to think of the Travers, which is, you know, where the best will probably meet.
Visiting with trainer Stanley Huff here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning. Stanley, let's shift our focus out to the West Coast and that grade one Bing Crosby winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Another talented runner in Recruiting Ready, who is 2-1 on the morning line in that very contentious race this afternoon. Tell us about him.
Well, he's a barn favorite. You know, he's been around. He was one of the first ones that I bought, you know, was able to buy for Sagamore. And he's just been a special horse for us. He's had his injuries. He's had some surgery. But he seems to have come back. I think this year's one of his best. He was very promising 2 year old and then, you know, had some setbacks, but he's really a cool horse. I mean, he's great to be around. We, you know, he's a great shipper and a good mind. I'm hoping that he throws a good one. You never know shipping, you know, across the country. You never know how a horse is going to react, but he seems the kind of horse that can that wouldn't bother him. So we hope we obviously hope he has a, you know, a good race today.
I got to ask you, were you ducking Mottoli when you picked the Bing Crosby?
Well, that's what made us go out there. You know, Friends of Fire and Mottoli, you know, they're Mottoli's a very special horse. We were underbidder on as a 2 year old in training sale. We followed him all along and wish we would have kicked it up a notch. But actually, he didn't pass the vet when we in that year, or he'd have gone for a lot more money. I think he brought $150,000 in Ocala. But he worked sensational, and he really looked the part. So we're always kind of kicking ourselves there.
Yeah, every
Busen bought him, but they did the same thing. We've talked to him later. They did the same thing. He didn't really pass the vet. He had an issue in his hind ankle. But on radiographs, you passed it. But a lot of horses, you know, they never know that. So, right. So, but anyways, Mottoli's a very nice horse. So. We chose to go to California to thought it would be a better spot. So we hope that's the right decision.
Yeah, Stanley, every consigner across America who works so hard to sell horses at these thoroughbred auctions that's music to the ears to every consigner, because they are constantly preaching, hey, look, even though a horse might not pass the vet or whatever it might be, doesn't mean that he can't turn out to be a really, really good racehorse. And Mottoli is proof of that for sure. In terms of Sagamore Farm and training for owner Kevin Plank, who is, of course, the founder of Under Armour and a former Maryland football player, what's it like training for a guy like Kevin Plank?
Well, it's been very good to me. Came to Sagamore because of a good friend of mine that I've known since he was young, named Hunter Rankin. And he worked for Kevin, and then Kevin, through his interest, his father, he grew up in the horse business, Hunter did, and he made Hunter president of Sagamore, which is Kevin's personal brand. So not only Sagamore Farm, there's Sagamore Rye and Hotel and whatever, you know, personal that's not necessarily under the company. Hunter is the president. And I trained for Hunter's family a little bit, and I've known him so long. And he's a young fella, and he called me and wanted me to come with, try to, you know, kind of reorganize. And so that's when I started with him like 4 years ago. So, and just start, and it wasn't intending to train. I had retired for six, 7 years or something, or five, 6 years at that time. And I was fine with that. You know, I was lucky enough to have a pretty good career, so I was able to have, you know, have enough savings where I could retire. And but you still, I mean, I had interest in horses still, but I didn't train. And so he asked me to be a part of that, which I did. And the first, so last year we had a trainer for us, and he had some personal problems. He needed to stay in Baltimore, so he still has horses for us in Baltimore. He's a very talented young trainer, and doing well and building up some outside horses too, which so it for the horses that we took to Florida and we wanted. So I started last fall as Donna's trainer, but I always had an interest in them. So these are some of our ones that we hope to be developed into being bloodstock, you know, being to make a sire was our main goal. So this, you know, between here and recruiting ready, we hope he could win a grade one and make a sire, and hope Google will make a top sire. I have a horse that won the other day called Scars Are Cool. I think he's got a good future. So, and we have some other young horses that I'm, you know, very interested in. So that's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing, is to try to develop something. And you know, I'm not going to do this forever. Like you say, I'm 71 and this business is the greatest end game in the world when you're doing good, but it could be the toughest in the world if you're not doing any good. So, I've been both places and don't want to be to the latter.
Well, Stanley, whatever you're doing now, it's working. Keep up the great work. All the best with those two contenders later this afternoon. We'll look forward to saying hello to you when we get up to Saratoga here next week for the Whitney, and really appreciate the time and the visit here this morning.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
All right, trainers.
Talk to you later.
Stanley Huff, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. His success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and He Hate Me, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales, including that Saratoga sale coming up here in just about 10 days from right now in Saratoga Springs, New York. And of course, as a guest on the program, we're going to send Stanley a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com.
He Hate Me, a Stanley Huff trainee.
He Hate Me.
Yes, he was very good to me. I don't hate him.
What an interesting name. Interesting name. All right, we're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf. We'll come back. We're going to open up the phone lines for the next hour, right up until about 9:35 Eastern. It will be all about you, the listener. We'll give you a few topics you can call. That number, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. That's the number to call in just about 5 minutes or so. Stay with us. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
There have been performances by horses on the racetrack that bear more than considerable note, and there have been horses of the same milk over a period of time. This is a story of a combination of both, a horse and a performance that are five-star in every category. Quote, "It won't be the same on Saturdays without Kelso, will it?" said the fat man. That perfunctory statement sums up the whole story. The story of Kelso in the Jockey Club Gold Cup run on the Saturday of Halloween in October of 1964. It was a golden autumn day for a golden thoroughbred, 51,000 fans on hand at Belmont Park, Long Island's grand dame of racing. They had come to pay homage to one in a million as a horse. People had waited 40 years for Kelso. There had been nothing like him since Exterminator in the 1920s and Man o' War of the same vintage. All there were great horses in the interim, Gallant Fox, Citation, Equipoise, Discovery, Native Dancer, Cavalcade, Count Fleet, 20 Grand, Armed, Swaps, and Tom Fool, to recount just a few. there were some that occupied a very special place in the hearts of racing fans. The beloved Seabiscuit, War Admiral, Whirlaway, Alsab, Stymie, and Carryback, just to name a few. None had that rare and indefinable quality of absolute excellence of Exterminator, Man of War, and now Kelso. His greatest single contribution to racing was in being a hero, a role model to be loved and admired. Not because of physical beauty, since he was actually underweight. And he was awkward and often seemed ill at ease. He was sort of like a homely girl who had donned her very best party dress but was doomed as a wallflower. He had a lackluster coat, and no matter what they tried to do to dress him up, as it were, he was still just plain old Kelso. You had to shake your head at Kelly, because you could never imagine him to be a champion among champions. The Jockey Club Gold Cup was virtually a permanent trophy of his, and he'd won it 4 years in a row. Unheard of, but here he was trying to make it 5 in a row at the age of 7 over the grueling 2-mile distance. This was to be the last race run in New York for him. After some 1 3/4 miles of the Great Classic, he was second, right behind the dead game little Roman brother who'd given it all he'd had. Then Milo Valenzuela made his move aboard Kelso, and he charged at the leader. There was no need for the crowd to vent an encouraging "Come on, Kelly," as they'd done when he waged his stretch battles with Iron Peg in the Suburban and Gunbo in the Woodward. It was all over at the quarter pole, and everybody there knew it. And then an awesome thing happened. The 51,000 on hand went eerily silent for a moment, and then, just as woe on cue, 102,000 hands began to clap in unison, hands beating rhythmically in time with Kelso's stride, cadence clapping a la European style for admiration of something special. It was like a Mahler concerto of human emotion. Kelso crossed the wire a winner in his fifth consecutive Jockey Club Gold Cup in a time of 3:19.1, a new track and American record for 2 miles. There was a wistful sadness inherent in the lengthening shadows of that fall afternoon. Summer was taking its last breath. Winter's frostiness lay just around the corner. The world would grow older, and so would Kelso. Like the fat man said, it won't seem like Saturday without Kelso. No, and there probably will never be another Saturday like that one, October 27, 1964, when Kelly won his fifth straight Jockey Club Gold Cup in what may very well have been the single greatest moment in all of thoroughbred racing's marvelous history.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by 3. Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there, coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure, a half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast on the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant, but Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Tacitus and Tex locked in battle at the 16th pole. It's Tacitus in front. Tex second on the inside as they come down to the line. Haikal takes third late. It is Tacitus in the Wood Memorial.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Baron and Pontiff coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios in the heart of the Bluegrass. The phone lines are now open for the next hour. We do not do this very often on the Equine Forum. As a matter of fact, hardly ever. So this is your opportunity. You want a voice to the industry? This is it right now. 888-966-4776. 888-966-HRRN, the number to the call. Jude, we hear those three race calls coming out of the break, those sound bites of War of Will winning the Preakness, Maximum Security taking the Haskell last week, and Tacitus winning the Wood Memorial. All three of those horses have been in action late recently, or will be in action. You have War of Will and Tacitus going this afternoon in the Jim Dandy, and of course Maximum Security after that big win last weekend at Monmouth, now pointing for the Travers, and it looks as if all three of those could end up meeting in the Travers, all things being equal. Another kind of rematch of what we saw in the Kentucky Derby. This is a wide-open three-year-old division. Who do you give it to right now? If you had to vote for the top three-year-old in the country, who is it?
Wow, that's a good question. I think you'd probably have to give it to Maximum Security because of his overall body of work. He's won every race. Well, he's finished first in every race except for one. And, you know, he was first in the Derby by a considerable margin. I know some horses behind him were bothered, but he's kind of an amazing horse in that he runs good all the time off some of the weirdest training I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, he's a very unique horse. So I think at this point you'd have to give it to him. I look for Tacitus to do some big things the rest of the year. He's been amazing. When you look at his body of work, it's very, very good. So I think it's between those two at this point.
War of Will, I mean, he wins at least one of the classics, right?
Right.
Maximum Security. Tacitus did not do that. So he has that going for him. But you still think, even though he won those big races in New Orleans earlier in the season, you still think he needs to do a little bit more?
Well, he's lost big three out of his last four races. I mean, when you look at his chart, it's a little surprising.
Do you put a line through the Kentucky Derby though?
Well, with him? I think you don't put a line through it. It was a good race.
It was a good
he
race.
He ran a very good race.
Yeah.
He was bothered. You can make an excuse for that race. He went into the Kentucky Derby a little fresher than maybe you would have liked. He was very keen training all week long. He was kind of running off and doing some wild stuff. And so maybe he didn't come up to that race that good, but he ran well. But I mean, you know, I think he has some things to prove. I think he's a very good horse and I love watching him run and I like watching him train. I wish he'd just calm it down a little bit. He needs a little bit more, global campaign in him. He needs to be a little bit more chill. That comes with age and experience and, he's gone through a lot, so he certainly is capable. I mean, I think at the end of the year, we still have, about 5 months to figure this all out. But, by the end of the year, he might be outstanding. I mean, who the heck knows?
This is an interactive show, so the phone lines are open. We are taking your phone calls. If you want to weigh in on this discussion, who is the top three-year-old in the country right now? Is it Maximum Security, War of Will, Tacitus, somebody else? Maybe it's Game Winner out on the West Coast. Maybe you're still a believer in him that he can make a run and put his hat in the ring for a three-year-old championship. Roadster, don't forget, he's still on the West Coast for Bob Baffert. Let us know, 888-966-4776. The first five callers who call into the program here this morning, we're going to send you, and well, I'll put it this way, an officially licensed Embrace the Race HRN ball cap. I think that sounds official. It sounds good when you say that, right?
Officially licensed, yeah.
I don't know who the hell licensed it.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I just want to hear their bedroom voice. Everybody always says, hey, you know, we wake up every Saturday morning listening to you. I want to hear the bedroom voice.
Yeah, everybody's still sleepy out there in HRN Nation. You know, and the other thing I was going to ask people to do, if you're listening to us anywhere in the country, tweet to us. Let us know where you're listening. We love to hear from people all over the country, all over the world. There are people that stream this show all over the world. Let us know, and you can call into the show and be part of this discussion here this morning. This show is all about you, the listener. 888-966-4776, the number to call. And, you know, the other thing, and we'll talk about it later, is the Breeders' Cup Classic division, which, in my opinion, is as wide open as that three-year-old division we were just talking about. We'll share some of those thoughts with you later in the program. But with this being PDJF Day across America, I thought it would be cool if you want to call in and share your story about meeting your favorite jockey, or maybe your kids, when you took them to the track, met their favorite jockey. Share that story with us. We love to hear those kind of stories, too. I can remember being at Saratoga, and my wife, Michelle, she wasn't my wife at the time, but we were at Saratoga before we moved to Kentucky, and Julie Crone had written a book, and I had just gotten the book, and I wanted her to sign it. Well, I had had an accident on the basketball court. I should never play basketball, by the way. Had an accident, blew out my knee, and I was on crutches. And so I couldn't keep up with Julie Crone when she was walking from the jocks room to the paddock. And here I am trying to keep up with her and work my way through traffic at Saratoga. And Michelle ran ahead of me and got her as she was walking, and she signed the book. But I knew right away that Michelle was a keeper at that point when she was willing to do something like that for me.
Would she could outrun you on crutches?
Yeah, so that's why I have several jockey stories, meeting these jocks for the very first time, and now we get the opportunity to work with so many of them. But let's get out to the phone lines. We have Hal calling from New York. Hal, good morning.
Good morning. I enjoy your show every Saturday morning.
Thank you.
I think you guys do a great job. I like talking about the best three-year-old, and I have a feeling Tacitus might show it today, although I'm rooting for Global Campaign. I'll have in my pick five, I'll have those three horses, Global Campaign, Tacitus, and War of Will. You just can't ignore them. They look like the best three horses.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely do.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and you know, they're all very nice. They're all very talented and horses that can win on any given day. I've been impressed with the way Tacitus has come through the Triple Crown, and he's been training well. And
see, I still put him third. If you're going to look at the top three, maybe even fourth, as the top three-year-olds in the country looking toward a championship at the end of the season, his body of work, look, he won the Tampa Bay Derby. He won the Wynn Memorial. Then he was fourth in the Kentucky Derby. He was second in the Belmont Stakes. Both good efforts, but he didn't win either of those two. So at least War of Will, who won the big races down in New Orleans earlier this season, came back and took one of those three classics. So I think I put War of Will, I think I put Maximum Security ahead of Tacitus on that list, and maybe even a horse like Game Winner. But Game Winner's kind of in the same boat. He has a lot to prove moving forward. Hale, how about you? Who's the top three-year-old in the country right now? Is it Tacitus, in your opinion?
I like Tacitus. I really was disappointed he didn't win the Belmont, but he did have kind of an excuse, but you can't just keep giving horses excuses, but he did run a really good race. I can't say he's the best, but I think he's got a good shot at you know, being the best. And we'll have to see if War of Will. I'm kind of concerned that he threw in such a clunker in the Belmont. But I would have to think Mark Cassie would have waited for the Traverse? The big race. Yeah.
Yeah.
Running him here, I don't know if he's just using the race or trying to win the race. It gives me a little bit of concern. But like I said, I'll be rooting for Global Campaign. I really like this horse. And that was great having Stanley Huff on.
Yeah, he tremendous trainer. He's had a lot of success, and that's an understatement. And it's great to see him back training and training at a high level again with horses like Global Campaign and Recruiting Ready. Hal, listen, really appreciate the phone call. We'll send you an HRN Embrace the Race ball cap, and enjoy the races later today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Hal in New York, appreciate that. 888-966-4776, the number to call. That's 888-966-HRRN. Call us and let us know your thoughts. Maybe you want to talk about the top three-year-olds. Maybe you want to tell us a story of the time you met your favorite jockey. Maybe you were on crutches running through Saratoga. I don't know. Whatever it is, give us a call. Let us know. The poll question today, at HRN on Twitter, we wanted to know, how should the horse racing industry react when criticized? There's been a lot of debate about that over the past several months. You have four choices: an immediate reaction with drastic changes, step back, take a look at things and launch a study, defend itself by promoting the positives, or just ignore the critics altogether and do nothing. So far, HRN Nation is saying that the right approach should be to defend ourselves, promote all the positives. And Jude, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, you know, our sport is a wonderful sport. It's highly regulated. There's a lot of things to like about it. It's educational. It's entertaining. It's outside.
Yep.
You know, I think anything you can do to promote it.
We do a lot to help the horses, too. I mean, walk around any racetrack and see how well those horses are treated, right? And I know there's exceptions to every rule, and I know we can do better in certain areas, no doubt about it. But this is a sport that takes care of its equine athletes as well as any sport takes care of its athletes anywhere in the world.
Yeah, no question. I mean, anybody that's been to a barn, you know, at one of the major racetracks in the United States has seen it in person. I mean, these horses get excellent care. They are highly thought of, very much loved by the people that take care of them and own them and train them. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, I don't think you can blow that horn enough.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Bill is on the road to Saratoga. He's on the line with us now on the Equine Forum. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Things are good. How are you?
Great.
What's up?
Well, I had a story about meeting my favorite jockey.
Yeah.
Who's always been Chris McCarron. And about 20 years ago, the week that Chris's mom died, he was scheduled to ride in the Traverse. And he did make the ride on Deputy Commander. So I was at the track with a buddy, and I said to him, I'm emptying my wallet on Deputy Commander because Chris McCarron wouldn't be here, except he knows this is a special race for him now. And my friend said, well, I'm emptying my wallet on Behrens, who was the favorite. And it was a head-bobbing photo finish, and Deputy Commander did win. So after the races, we're at a restaurant about 20 miles south of Saratoga, and lo and behold, at a table right near us was a party of about 12 people with Chris McCarron. I said to my friend, I said, oh, we got to go talk to Chris McCarron. Of course, my friend said, yeah, well, I'd like to wring his neck. Chris walked by, and I said, hey, congratulations, Chris. And he was so nice. He talked to us for about 10 minutes, and I just love that guy, both as a person and a jockey. And I don't know if he's there today for the PBJF, but I would certainly like to get his autograph when I make a donation.
Yeah, Chris is a great guy, and he's very engaging. If you get him, you know, alone for a few minutes, he loves the game, and
yeah,
he's got some great stories. He used to ride for me a little bit, and he told me a story about when he was working for a trainer in Maryland and tying a horse's tail in the mud, and all in about 5 minutes before I legged him up. So he's a great guy to talk to, and he's a wonderful man.
You know, Jude, I appreciate every day on my way home from work when you're on, I listen to you and Anthony, and I have so much fun with that. I'm bringing Anthony a gift, and I'm going to leave one for you, and it's very important because I had help getting it from someone I know you like. That would be Coco Ho.
Oh, absolutely. I love Coco Ho. Yeah, she's my favorite. Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll be waiting for you.
All right. Well, I'll be up there next week. Are you going to be up there next week?
No, I can't make it next week. So this is my one day of the meet that I'll get there.
All right. Well, good luck today. Have a good time. And stop by and see Anthony. He loves when people come by.
I will. Thanks, Jude.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in. And we'll send Bill a cap, an HRN Embrace the Race ball cap as well, that he can wear every time he goes to the racetrack. And ironically, they're black and gold.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Can't have everything.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls after this. 888-966-4776. We're back in just about 3 minutes on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreds.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other statebreds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassig Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
Milridge offers, as agent, 3 quality yearlings to the Saratoga Select Sale by Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, and Pioneer of the Nile. Since 2005, Milridge has sold 61 yearlings at Saratoga with 79% winners, 5% Grade 1 or Grade 2 winners, 13% graded placed, and 21% stakes placed runners. Since 2000, Milridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, with Oscar Performance, who is standing stud at Milridge, their latest. Milridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
They're coming down to the line, and it's Regal Glory in the Lake George, a half a length on the wire.
It's Ahimsa in front, Akira chasing, but Ahimsa in a stylish performance today. Ahimsa takes the Oceanitas impressively.
Another huge weekend for Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom as Regal Glory scored in the Grade 3 Lake George at Saratoga, and Ahimsa rolled to a front-running victory in the Oceanitas Stakes at Del Mar, making them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, champion three-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup. Animal Kingdom's 7 Northern Hemisphere Black Type winners are more than quality roadhead at the same stage of his career. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
And here's commentator turning for home in the Whitney with a 3-length lead. On the far outside, Student Council trying to reel him in, but time is running out. There's less than a furlong to go, and it's commentator well clear. Followed by Student Council, and here's commentator to win the Whitney again. And boy, he did it with some front-running style today. 1-4, soundly defeating Student Council a long way back to a photo for third there. Grasshopper, and Notional. Final time, 1 minute 50, 1/5 seconds.
Commentator winning the 2008 running of the Whitney, and he'll be remembered for winning that race twice. That was the second victory in the Whitney for Commentator. Jude, I play that race clip coming out of that break. And by the way, we have a caller on the line. We're not going to make him wait very long. We'll get to him in just a couple of minutes here. So if it's Mark and Wilmore. Mark, if you can hold for just about 2 minutes, we'll get right to you. But want to make sure we mention that next week we will begin a series of Horse Weeks here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is a brand new thing that we're going to be launching, and we'll kick it off with two-time Whitney winner Commentator. And all that going to be presented next week, Tuesday through Saturday, by the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. So I want to thank them for their support, and we're going to highlight one of the top New York breds of all time, Commentator. Throughout the week, we'll be playing race calls of Commentator winning his big races. We'll have interviews with so many of the connections that were around Commentator from owners and breeders and trainer Nick Zito, Johnny Velasquez, who rode Commentator in that second victory in the Whitney. We'll get a chance to talk to them throughout the week as well as we showcase Commentator. All next week, it is Commentator Week on HRN.
Yeah, I got excited. I thought it was going to be like me. Commentator. Oh, you said it's Commentator Week. I go, oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
Right. Well, I can remember he was running when my mentor, Pete, you know, Pete Coolis, when Pete was alive. And Pete always maintained that that horse was named for him. Right. And I don't believe that it was, but he always liked to believe that it was.
Was that Tracy Farmer's horse?
It was.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll get a chance to talk to him. And we'll have a series of Horse Weeks coming up over the course of the next several months leading up to Breeders' Cup. Matter of fact, we're going to have, we'll have Game on Dude Week. We're going to have Wise Dan Week, Beholder Week, Mucho Macho Man Week, and Silver Charm Week. All of those weeks going to be presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. So we'll be doing this throughout the year, and it's something we hope to build on moving into next year, where we showcase those horses on all of our shows throughout the entire week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. All right, that is coming up, and on Tuesday, our final episode of Jock Talk. For all of you Jock Talk fans out there, it will be our final episode coming up on Tuesday. You'll still be able to go back to our website and download all the replays that we've done over the past several years, but Tuesday night, 6 Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 201, and horseracingradio.net. Make sure you're tuned in to our final Jock Talk episode presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. That comes up on this coming Tuesday. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll come back and visit with Mark and Wilmore right after this.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then taps between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Hunting Horn, trying to hold on. Here comes Channel Maker on the outside, ranging up alongside. Magic Wand and Arc Lower closing in two. Channel Maker strikes the front. Channel Maker wins the Man of War.
Stride to stride, a furlong to run. One bad boy, never looked better, and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs, Barron and Pontiff, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Continuing to take your phone calls right up until about 9:35 Eastern. Several things to talk about here this morning. Let's head back out to the phone lines where Mark in Wilmore has been waiting very patiently for about 7 or 8 minutes. Mark, really appreciate you holding on the line there while we took care of some of the particulars. What's going on?
Not much, guys. How are you all?
Everything's good.
Good. I just called to say hi. I My wife actually has met you all when she was working at when American Pharoah came through the Breeders' Cup Trail at Keeneland, and she met you all and said you were very nice. And I've never met you, and she didn't even listen to this radio, so I forced her to.
Well, we had her fooled.
But she said you guys were very awesome, and so I wanted to call and say what's up. And I love your all's intros that you do. I wish I'd bring back some of the older memories of some of the races instead of the. I know you do the ones for the year, but I do like some of the ones like when you just had commentator. He was one of my favorite horses. I really appreciated him winning a couple of races for me. I do love those intros.
Yeah, you know, that's a good suggestion, Mark. Maybe we can do that. Put together some retro opens with some of the older race clips. That would be kind of fun too.
You just talked about Wise Dan. It's funny, kind of like the one and dones. It's kind of like one and done now for horses. You don't get to keep them in your mind as long or in your heart as long as they used to. I followed Silver Charm when he was Remember Cigar, ran forever, and now these guys run at age three, then they're one and done and out. And you're like, kind of like to follow some of these guys.
Yeah. Have you been out to Old Friends to see Silver Charm?
Oh, I went out and saw him on his birthday, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, did. I went out and I gave him a hug.
Good deal.
I give all my horses a hug. He was my first. I remember they did it was the first year they did the drive-through at Keeneland. And right after that race went down, I was there for everything. You know, I hit the super, the trial. I love Silver, Captain Bodge, Free. They were all my horses. I loved them all. And I got paid. And then right then, all the tellers and everything went down because of the drive-through system that they had. And nobody else got any money, and everybody had to come back on Sunday to get their money. And it was just kind of an interesting day.
Well, good. I'm glad you got your cash.
Let me ask you this, Mark. What's your favorite Silver Charm memory? Maybe it's one of his big wins, or what would it be?
I keep remembering the San Anita race. That was a race that I actually remember him and Freehouse fighting each other going down the lane.
Yep.
That was the race. And I forgot, did someone beat them both as they were going down the lane? Was it a filly to beat him?
That doesn't ring a bell. Hold on a second. No, I'll find out
maybe,
for you.
Maybe not. I just remember Freehouse. My favorite, though, is when Freehouse, when Silver Charm won the Derby. No, that's. Because I was there a year before when Cavaneer got beat. And I'm a big Bob Baffert fan. Bob Baffert. Awesome.
He had to go down that road.
It's not like I picked the Yankees to win and, you know, whatever. You know, I am a Reds fan, so I just don't pick the big ballers. But Bob Baffert, you know, he just kind of came on the scene with Cavaneer. You know, I was kind of old school. I remember watching Charlie Winningham horses, you know, when I was on TV. So my mom, she did show horses. But I love the racehorse, so my dad and I kind of followed it a little bit more.
I had a horse that beat Cavaneer twice in California, a horse named Ready to Order. And he was a very, very good horse. And unfortunately, he didn't make the Derby. He stepped on a shoe. Some horse had thrown a shoe on the training track at San Anita, and he stepped on it and bruised his foot. So he missed a bunch of Derby preps and stuff. And,
hey, Jude?
Yes.
I got a question for you. Is that the biggest race that you would have been in, or what's the biggest race that your horse has been in?
I won the Chula Vista at Del Mar, and that was a grade two in those days. It's a grade one now. As a matter of fact, it's called the Clement Hirsch, and it's running this weekend. That was quite a day. My filly Veal Vinge, she beat Light and Brought to Mind, who were arguably the two best fillies in the country.
That was before Tate's Creek and Mega Hertz. That was years before that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Light belonged to MC Hammer.
Can't touch this. Yeah, I remember him and his horse at the Derby one year. That was kind of cool.
His dad came in the racing secretary's office. I was there. I had a filly in the Beverly D at Arlington Park. Oh. And his dad came in and to cash a check. And he said to Tom Canoost, who was the racing secretary, "Tommy, I need to cash a check. The boys want to bet some exactas." And Tommy says, "How much do you need, Mr. Borelli?" He goes, "I don't know, 15, 20,000. And I swallowed hard because I really believed in my heart that I was going to win that race. And I thought, man, they're going to blow 20 grand.
No pressure.
my filly won, paid $42.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, Mark, listen, we appreciate the phone call. We're going to move on, allow some other people to get into the show here this morning, but really appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words on the show, and tell your wife that we appreciate her kind words as well.
Oh, she said you all awesome. You all have a great day, man.
All right, you got it. And we'll send Mark a cap. Matter of fact, you know what? He waited 7 or 8 minutes to get through to the show. Let's send him 2 caps. We'll do that. Mark, you're going to get one for you, one for your wife. We'll send those to you, and we'll take care of you there, my friend. By the way, Free House Silver Charm that day, it was, as I thought, it was Free House. Got up to win by a head over Silver Charm in that Santa Anita Derby. And it was a great battle. I remember that day as well back in 1997. All right, 888-966-4776, number to call. This has been fun. If you wanted to share your memories of meeting your favorite jockey, your favorite horse, as Mark just did, that's cool too. If you want to weigh in on your thoughts on the top 3-year-old in the country, the top older horse in the country, the top classic contender right now, if we want to look at it in that fashion, you can do that too. Or the poll question that we threw out there at HRN on Twitter, you can do that too.
Yeah, there's plenty of things to talk about.
Definitely an interactive show. This is kind of fun.
Yeah,
we might have to do this a little more often. Open up the phone lines here.
Come
on
in Thursday nights.
Yeah, we do have our Thursday night Brisnet.com call-in show, of course. But yeah, this is kind of a neat little thing here this morning here on the Equine Forum. 888-966-4776, the number to get in. Your favorite horse of all time, JT, who was it?
Cougar the Second.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was kind of like Catholic Boy is now. He could run on dirt. He could run on turf. He could run almost any distance. You know, he was just a really cool horse. Beautiful horse too, and had a tremendous personality.
Yeah, yeah. You know mine.
Yeah, Holy Bull.
Yeah, Holy Bull. Maybe we should do. Oh, maybe that's what we'll do. We were talking about the horse weeks we're going to launch. Maybe we'll do Holy Bull Week going into the Traverse. And I'll just talk about Holy Bull on every show. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
People will be so sick of hearing me talk about Holy Bull.
I think they already are.
Yeah, between that and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, is this guy ever going to shut up? All right, we're going to head to Louisville and check in with Gene. Gene, welcome to the show.
Good morning, man.
Thanks for calling.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'd like to comment on a couple things, and one of them is the classic coming up.
Sure.
I think it's a no-brainer. McKenzie will win that hands down. I just don't see any handicap horses that are in his class.
What about the distance?
I think he'll get the distance. He'll struggle. I wouldn't say struggle, but I think with what he's going to compete against, he'll get the distance.
Yep.
I know last year he evidently Bob was way off track with him because he ran so bad, it was hard to believe that the horse didn't perform any better in the classic. But I think he's really set and keying on this classic, and I just believe he's a winner.
There are a lot of people, Gene, that are in that McKenzie camp. As a matter of fact, the Breeders' Cup has launched a Breeders' Cup Classic poll where they have media members vote on which horse they feel is most likely to win the Breeders' Cup Classic each week. And McKenzie is the top horse. He has been the top horse for several weeks now. People thinking he's the horse to beat, just like you, for the Classic. But I don't know. I can't warm up. I can't get on that McKenzie bandwagon. You look at his resume here, and yeah, he's been there. He's been consistent, but he's only won one race here in 2019, and that was the Ali Sheba, the Grade 2 at Churchill. Other than that, he's been runner-up in all 3 starts here in 2019. I just have a hard time buying into McKenzie with only one win this year.
But in the Met Mile, each and every person that I know talks about Matoli.
Yep.
McKenzie runs over that horse if he gets a clean trip through the lane. It probably was the worst ride Mike has ever done, but he was blocked at every which way he wanted to go. But McKenzie will run over Matoli in that mile race had he got clear sailing. There's not a doubt in my mind. I've watched so many horse racing. I'm 70 years old. There's no way Matoli beats that horse again going a mile.
Well, McKenzie did have a rough trip that day.
As a sprinter, he will be super today. Anybody, now he's stretching himself when he tries to get past that 6 and 7 furlongs.
Yeah, but he's proven he can do it.
He proved it one time. And there's no way anybody that watches horse racing, McKenzie destroys that horse at the 16th pole if he gets through. and that's a mile. Now, I watch, and I mean, I'm religiously, as I shouldn't use that word with horse racing, but I watch racing and I tape racing, and oh, he's superior to Mottoli going a mile.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
For some reason, didn't get McKenzie into the race until, it was just extremely late in the race. But he was kind of blocked two or three different ways he wanted to go, and he didn't get a good trip.
Well, you know, Gene, the one thing that McKenzie will have going for him, if all things being equal, he makes it to the Classic at Santa Anita, that will be in his backyard, his home court. He'll have that home court advantage. That may help him as well with that mile and a quarter Classic coming up in November. You said you had a couple of things you wanted to weigh in on. What was the other one?
The other one was a horse that nobody's picking up on, and I've watched him the last three races, and I think he's going to turn out to be pretty darn good horse as Mr. Money. I know they're dodging the big hitters right now, but I think he's going to prove at the end to be something pretty special.
He's going to the West Virginia Derby, I believe.
And War of Will. I just think he's in their class. He's come to his own right now. He's won his last three. I know one of them, the last, was the Indiana Derby, but he couldn't have won it any easier.
Yep.
And he won Churchill Derby Day. He couldn't have won that any easier.
Yep.
The Pat Day Mile, I believe it was.
Yeah, and then the Matt Wynn in between.
But I've got him checked as at the end of the season, he could be right there in the Eclipse Award voting.
All right, Mr. Money. Mr. Money for Gene in Louisville. Gene, appreciate the phone call. We'll send you an HRN ball cap, and thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for the kind words.
All right. You guys have a good day.
All right. Mr. Money, you know, that's a great take from Gene. Mr. Money, a horse that isn't going to be high on many people's lists right now, but he has won three in a row. All three of those have come in grade three company. You mentioned the West Virginia Derby. That won't be another major race, so to speak, but at some point he'll have to take on the big boys if he wants to throw his hat into the ring. He has a lot to do if he's going to throw his hat into the ring for a championship honor, though.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of money to be made, though, with some of these smaller derbies.
Smart move.
300, 400,000, 500,000. You know, there's a lot of races, and he's in great form. They've done a marvelous job, Brad Cox and his team. He's just an outstanding.
Yeah, Allied Racing Stable. Yeah, I think if you have a horse that is good, but maybe not quite good enough to compete in the Classics, there is so much money to be made in these other races. And if he's good enough, kind of a fringe player for the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, and you decide, okay, we're gonna bypass those races. We're okay with doing that. You can go make a lot of money in these other races,
absolutely,
like that Indiana Derby, like the Pat Day Mile. There's a lot of other spots you can go to.
Yeah, the Ohio Derby. I mean, they're all over the place. And you know,
this
horse was a little bit late to the party. It took him a while to develop, and it's probably a blessing in disguise for him that they didn't have him ready for the longer races earlier.
Now, we're a couple minutes away from our next commercial break, but let's head back out to the phone lines here in the Bluegrass in Lexington, and Joyce is on the line. Joyce?
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on? Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell a story about the time I met Steve Coffin.
Oh, yeah.
At Churchill Downs.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm already on the line. Okay, sorry.
No, you're here. Yeah. You're live.
Okay, sorry. I just had my coffee. I'm not quite awake yet.
Hey, I know that
Steve
feeling.
Steve Coffin was my favorite jockey. And I had been to Churchill to the Derby. That was my first Derby ever. I'd never been to the races before. And I was in the infield for a Firm's Derby. So I bet on him. I won money. And they had a jockey signing at Churchill Downs one time for on Stephen Foster Day. So me and a friend went, and I was a nervous wreck. We kept waiting and waiting, and all the jockeys were there except for him. I saw his name on the table, excuse me, and we were afraid he wasn't going to show up. And the longer I waited, the more nervous I got. By the time he did arrive, I started almost crying when I met him, and I don't even remember what I said to him. But he couldn't have been any nicer. He signed all kinds of stuff for me. I had a Derby T-shirt that I had bought that day. He signed my shirt. He posed for photos. And like I said, I was so nervous. I had jello knees. I mean, I almost passed out. I'm not kidding.
That's a great story. You know, and I can relate to that, Joyce, with those nerves and the butterflies that you get. I did the same thing when my wife and I kind of talked our way to the top of the jocks room at Belmont Park before we moved to Kentucky. And this is back, gosh, in the 1990s when Shane Sellers was there to ride Skip Away the day he beat Cigar in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And I can remember waiting for Shane to come up and talk to us, and we were going to meet him for the first time. And I was like, what am I going to say to this guy, right? I mean, I'm just a fan. I'm a kid from that part of the country.
They're like, it's like meeting a, to me, it's like meeting a movie star. It really was.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, Steve's such a good guy. Our producer, Lee Delapina, had an opportunity. Steve was in our studio recording Jock Talk, I believe, with Christina McManigal. And Lee had him do a little voiceover. You're listening to HRRN, but he's Steve Cawthon. I mean, almost everybody in horse racing knows who he is. He gave a little bio about himself before he said the line, and it's fantastic. And it just goes to show. Every time I hear it, I think it just goes to show what a humble guy he is. He doesn't expect people to know who he is. He tells them who he is, and a really wonderful person. Great family that he comes from, and just outstanding. Nice that he's a Kentucky boy.
Mm-hmm, right, but I'll never forget that day. Like I said, I made a $20 win bet on a Firm to Win. I almost got beaten up in the infield by some Elidor fans. They're like, you better go change that bet right now. I was kind of afraid, you know.
You were on the right side of that fence, Joyce, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, it was a great day. Like I said, he couldn't have been any nicer.
Well, Joyce, appreciate the phone call. We have to get to a commercial break. We'll send you an HRN ball cap. I really appreciate you taking the time here this morning, and great story.
Okay, thank you. You'll have a great day.
All right, thanks, Joyce. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's get to a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. This has been a lot of fun. 888-966-4776. And don't forget that this is PDJF Day across America. Text the word JOCKEY to 50555 to make a $10 donation to the PDJF. You have all day long to do that, so make sure you do that and support the PDJF. We're back with your phone calls next. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention, Kentucky breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup winning you're in the turf sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Grade One winner and track record setter Lee. He traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. Now his progeny are hitting the track. His first winners include Saratoga standout Vast, with juveniles selling for over $400,000 and yearlings bringing up to $650,000. The sky is the limit for this promising young stallion.
Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Seeking this hole, trying to close in on the outside, going past Silver Dust. Nothing from Instilled Regard. Casino start toward the rail. They're inside the final furlong, and McKenzie is shaking up on that lead. He's opening up by four. He's opening up by five. McKenzie, much the best.
Thundersnow, the Derby winner, is racing away. Trying to get there is West Coast battling away, but a brilliant performance. Thundersnow, a massive upset in the Dubai World Cup.
Preservationist with the rail in the lead as they arrive at the gate pole. Catholic Boy full out second. And then it's Pavel on the outside. Junior Alvarado getting more from Preservationist, and he's pulling away. And Preservationist has won the Suburban.
McKenzie, Thundersnow, and Preservationist, the top three horses in that order in the Breeders' Cup Classic rankings, according to BreedersCup.com and the media poll that they have launched each and every week. That will be music to the ears of Gene in Louisville, who earlier called in to say that he thinks McKenzie is the horse to beat in that Classic division. Many of the media members do as well. Going to head back out to the phone lines in just a minute, right after I remind you that Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years and is the industry's only weekly magazine for feature stories from the industry's best writers, in-depth analysis, award-winning photography, stakes shells, and comprehensive coverage of the ever-changing world of thoroughbred racing and breeding. It has to be Blood Horse Magazine. Don't miss an issue. Go to subscribe.bloodhorse.com today to sign up. Vance in Kentucky on the line, continuing to take your phone calls right up until about 9:35 Eastern, so about 10 more minutes. Vance, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Drew, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Hey, I got a couple things. I was out at Breeders' Cup in 2013 and ran into Ramon Dominguez, and he had just had an injury after that, and you could tell that he was really down about it.
Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up, the same year I was out there, one of my favorite horses was running. I don't know if you guys remember Wise Dan, of course.
Yep.
And yep. I think it was after he was coming back off his injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Wise Dan, so good. You know, a horse that just kept showing up and overcame so much in his career. You mentioned those injuries and the setbacks, but kept showing up. And Ramon Dominguez, Vance, you mentioned Ramon, and I think I did an interview with him right before he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and if you were going to sum up Ramon Dominguez, and correct me if I'm wrong, people would tell you that not only was he an exceptional rider, but he is probably an even better human being, one of the great human beings on the face of the planet. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. That was the first time I had ever met him, and like I said, he was at the finish line and doing the interview, and I went up after the interview and shook his hand and asked him if he'd ever race again, and he brought up that he didn't think that he'd ever be back, which I always thought he would, but he never did come back.
Yeah, he was injured pretty severely, but he's come out of it to do a lot of great things for our sport. He's a tremendous spokesman for racing. He works with the PDJF and other organizations, and he's a really, really smart guy, a tremendous rider, but yeah, he's always figuring out ways to give back to our sport. And, you know, a lot of people would just, you know, try to walk away. And sometimes when people are forced to retire from racing, it really affects them adversely. But I think
it took Ramon a little while.
It took him a while to come around. And he's just done a fantastic job of representing racing in the best possible light.
Yeah, and I think when he had his injury, I mean, he was on top of his game, too. I mean, he was winning everything.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was. No doubt about it.
He was the king.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And one other thing, when I was at Santa Anita that year, I think if I'm not mistaken, they had a carryover on the pick five the first day. I guess everybody's had their bad beats before, but I loaded up on the pick five for the next day because the carryover, and I was 4-for-4 going in the last leg. Stevens was on a horse that was the favorite. He gets disqualified. It was in the fifth race, and they put up like a 35-1 shot. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, I remember. That was the juvenile fillies, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rhea Antonia.
I didn't have the 35-1 shot, but I had every other horse beside that horse.
Oh. Wow, that is a tough beat.
That'll make you sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, I was hooked on your show the first time. I listened to it when you said go Steelers. I've been a long-time Steelers fan.
My man. Vance, we'll send you two ball caps. You know what? I'll send you all of them.
I listen to you guys every Saturday morning. You know, keep up the good work, man. Really appreciate it.
Vance, thanks, buddy. Go Steelers. Vance in Kentucky calling into the program here with us this morning. 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. And any story you want to share with us today, this is your program. We rarely do this on the Equine Forum, but it's a lot of fun. Jude brought up earlier our Brisnet.com call-in show, which you can do this every single week on the network. You can call into the Brisnet.com call-in show with Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa. That's on Thursday nights, 6 to 7 Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. So make sure you take that opportunity every week as well. This afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, Anthony and Mike Beer of the Daily Racing Forum will bring you exclusive coverage live from Saratoga of the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, and the Grade 2 Bowling Green. That coverage 5:30 to 7, Sirius 138, XM 201, and horseracingradio.net. Good day of racing, to say the least.
Oh yeah, no, it's an excellent slate of races at Saratoga, at Del Mar. There's some really good racing at Monmouth today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Big A going to join us here in about 10 minutes to preview those three races. Also, talk a little bit more about what you can expect on that coverage later today. Saturdays at Saratoga, all presented by visitbarbados.org. We'll bring you exclusive radio coverage of the big races every Saturday now through the end of the meet. And our thanks to visitbarbados.org for all of their support. We're going to head back out to the phone lines here in just a minute. Joanne in New Jersey is on the line. Joanne, welcome. Joanne, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Okay, Mike and Jude, thank you. This is going to be very short. It's
sure.
Joanne from Oceanport, the home of Monmouth Park.
Yep.
And I just wanted to say I love your show. Go Seahawks. Mike,
this is going to be very
Seahawks
short, Joanne.
But I still go for your team, so don't worry. The only thing I want to say is I think I just want to relay my first memory of racing ever in my life.
Sure.
And that was the first horse I ever remember was Dust Commander, 1970, winning the Derby with Mike Mellon. I think it was Mike Melangello was his jockey. And I that was the first horse I ever remember. And I think that's what some people should, maybe you can poll some people, their first horse ever. I was on the TV, was in black and white, and I saw them break in the Derby, and from then I was hooked. So that's it. I'm kind of nervous, so I just wanted to tell you guys I love your show, and get down to Monmouth more.
Thanks, don't be nervous, and everybody loves a Jersey girl.
Thanks, Joanne. Appreciate it. Great phone call, too. Great job. There you go, JT. I'll let you comment on this because that was 1 year BB before Baron. So I'll let you comment.
Well, Dust Commander, you know, good horse Mike Manganiello, tremendous jockey. And that's a great memory to have. I think everybody has that horse that, reminds them of when they first got in the game. Mine would be a horse called Quicken Tree that was a California bred. Lou Rowan had Quicken Tree, and he won a whole bunch of stakes, but he was on TV, seemed like every Saturday.
Yeah.
That would be the one that I remember.
Well, if you go to our website, horseracingradio.net, you can read my bio, and you know for me it was Easy Goer who hooked me immediately after he won the Traverse Stakes. I sat at the picnic tables up the top of the stretch at Saratoga and watched him flash by, and I was hooked on that big chestnut, and he he brought me into the sport for sure.
You cashed a massive ticket that day, as I recall.
I did. What, I had $2 across the board. And what was he, 1-9? And I did. I went and cashed my ticket. I was all excited.
That's so cute.
I mean, at that time,
right?
I mean, how old? I was a teenager, right?
Right.
So at that time, I was, you know, what was it, 89? Yeah, so I would have been 18. Yeah. Old enough to make my own bets.
Well, always fun to cash a ticket.
Yep. Yep. 888-966-4776. Actually, coming up on a break here in just about a minute, so I guess we're going to have to put a halt to the phone calls here this morning, but we do want to thank everybody who took advantage of this very special opportunity here on the Equine Forum. It's been a delight to hear those stories. And again, Jude, it showcases everything that is right and positive about the sport of thoroughbred racing. I know I keep coming back to that, but this sport needs to do more to promote these positives and put ourselves out there as the great sport that we truly are. Every time we're attacked by an outside entity, you know what? Don't make knee-jerk reactions. Don't just change everything because somebody says something bad about you. Defend yourself, promote your positives, and show those people how great this sport really is.
Yeah, and I think it underlines embrace the race and what they're all about. And how, you know, wear what you love, share your passion.
Yep.
The idea is to go out and tell people about racing and how much you love it and why you love it. And everybody can do that from the, you know, smallest of fans to the largest of fans. Everybody can share their passion for the sport.
Speaking of the largest of fans, we're going to be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, coming up in just about 3 or 4 minutes right after this commercial break. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup. Oh!
East Coast and West Coast jockeys are doing it again, grabbing the microphone for a two-day karaoke battle.
This event, I think, grows every year. It gets bigger and bigger, and we're having fun doing it.
You're not only guaranteed to have a good time, it's also for a great cause, benefiting the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund.
PDGF, you know, it means a lot to me because, you know, it's kind of like our backup in case something happens, you know.
It gives you the peace of mind that at least there is a little bit of protection, at least financial protection for our fellow riders.
It's Riders Up, Sunday, July 28th at Vapor Nightclub in Saratoga Springs, New York, followed by our California event on Sunday, August 4th at the Belly Up Tavern in Solano Beach, California. For tickets and information, go to pdjf.org.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Join us all summer long for action-packed weekends of racing at Laurel Park, Thursday through Sunday. Grab a bite in one of our recently renovated restaurants or step outside to get in all the action from the post-parade to the finish line. Come hang out with us and taste some rosé on the rail on Saturday, July 27th. Enjoy a day filled with racing and rosé sipping. See you on the track, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. Post time, 1:10 p.m.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Zapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one 3-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks Over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs.
visit adinastallions.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Wills Way and Louis Couture is running 1-2. Opening up on the field now, it's 3.5 lengths back to Secreto de Estado. An editor's note in the midst of his rally, but he's got a lot to do. He's 7 lengths behind as the field comes to the top of the stretch. It's Wills Way with the Preakness winner, Louis Couture, right at his neck. And they head for home now. Jorge Chavez is all over Wills Way, pleading for one more furlong, and he is stubbornly holding on to the lead. Louis Couture is doing his all, trying to get by him. It is still Wills Way, tenacious and in front. Louis Couture's on the outside, and he forges past in the shadow of the wire. Wills Way, second on the line to Louis Couture, who wins it narrowly.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 1996 Jim Dandy, Louis Couture's Wills Way. I was a Wills Way guy all the way. But Louis Couture's for trainer Nick Zito setting the stakes record, 147.26. That stakes record still holds to this day. Will it be broken this afternoon in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy? Well, you'll have to tune into our coverage later this afternoon to find out. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Forum bring you live coverage of the Jim Dandy, the AG Vanderbilt, and the Bowling Green from Saratoga, Sirius 138, XM 201, and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And the Big A is with us now, live from the spa. Big A, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I heard the the biggest comment before the break, just so you know.
Hey, they don't come any bigger, brother.
They don't. Biggest thing on radio, biggest thing on turf, my man.
And that is a good thing, buddy, because you are not only in stature, but certainly as your heart and your passion for the sport of thoroughbred racing, they don't come much bigger there either.
I've loved the show today to hear other people's memories of some of their riders and stuff and some of the first horse racing memories. Yeah, I mean, an absolute lifer. Nothing. My destiny was written long before the Big A came around. Anthony Stabile's destiny. I don't like to refer to myself in the third person, but yeah, my destiny was pretty much set for me when Cordero's Flowers beat my dad to the hospital room. So I was done. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. The haters can try and get rid of me, but I'm staying.
The Big A with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big day at Saratoga this afternoon, and that's an understatement with those three graded stakes, the AG Vanderbilt, the Jim Dandy, and the Bowling Green. Tell us a little bit more about what folks can expect.
Yeah, you know, it's my favorite day of the year, talking about the great experiences. I was telling Jude this on Express Start Radio this week. This is my favorite day of the meet. It has all of the dressings of Travers Day, right? We get to see the sprinters, like we'll see later on in the meet in the forego. We get to see the Jim Dandy. We get to see the Bowling Green, a precursor to the Sword Dancer. Everybody's kind of settled in now. We're here a couple of weeks, more for the not. We're only here a week and a half or two, but now we're here almost 3 weeks, settled in. Crowd's starting to come around this week. They're three fantastic stakes. The whole card, it's a 12-race card. The card's tremendous. A lot of big fields, contentious racing. But the three stakes in particular, you know, you have a little something for everyone. I think you can argue that Mattoli is the best dirt horse in training right now, regardless of distance. But up to a mile, I don't know. Maybe World of Trouble could be a threat to him sprinting, but up to a mile, I don't know if there's a better horse in training right now than Mattoli on the dirt. The three-year-olds, we get Tacitus, who I think is going to be the three-year-old champ when this is all said and done, and we turn the page to 2020. You get the Preakness winner with War of Will, an up-and-comer in Global Campaign, and then that Bowling Green sandwich between the two dirt races. I don't know. Jude and I counted like 8 or 9 graded stakes winners in the field of 13. So, I don't know, at a mile and a quarter or beyond. So, those three stakes, 7-horse field, 13-horse field, 6-horse field, field size is good, and there's plenty of star power and contentious racing in those three stakes today.
Yeah, it's a really nice sequence right in a row, so should be able to do some damage with that.
Do they beat Mattoli today?
We used a little of our poll with Mike Lakow for that. They would They were talking about moving these. I said, Mike, please, just leave these three stakes so I can have a really good Saturday at Saratoga on HRRN. to keep the stakes in order for us. So tip of the cap to Mike Lakeout.
Anthony, can they beat Mottoli today? Obviously, he's even money on the morning line. Is there any chance he gets beaten that spot this afternoon?
Yeah, one of the things we do up here, Mike, is we try to give back a little bit, right? So I'm going into a Safety Net Foundation event here at the Brentwood this morning. So if you're in Saratoga, come on by. It's a free event. Stop by. I think they ask you to make a donation. I'm getting ready to go in there to go over the whole card. I think you can. I think he's the best dirt horse in training. With that said, he's got to cut back from a mile. He's got to deal with the rail. And he's got to deal with other speed right to his outside and strike power. Now, if this racetrack, and the sun has been out, it's a beautiful day, it's getting a little humid, the breeze never really picked up yesterday to dry the track out thoroughly. So we stayed muddy all day. And the last thing you wanted to have was speed inside. You wanted no part of the inside. Well, now he's speed inside. Ricardo Santana Jr. has to get him to the front because he has to get him off that rail. I don't know if strike power. You know, John Velasquez knows you don't want to be on the rail. And John Velasquez knows he's going to have a big chance to strike power if he can keep Mottoli to his inside. I think he's just as fast as Mottoli strike power. So I think it'll set up for a speed duel now. Tracks change day to day. We have some sun. I believe the track's rated fast now. I'm going to take a little swing with Friends Fire. I tried to make a big score with him in a mile, and I'm not coming back on him for that reason. I just see a speed duel, and I think he'll come running late. But I play a lot of pick fours and pick fives. I'll be using both him and Mottoli.
All right, we get to the Jim Dandy in just a minute, but the Grade 2 Bowling Green is in between those two stakes, and you referenced the quality of that field. Channel Maker, who was runner-up in the race last year, going to take a lot of money in there, as will Sadler's Joy. I'm sure he is consistent. He's honest. He's returning with his first start of 2019 after competing in the Breeders' Cup Turf last year. How'd you see that race, Big A?
Yeah, Channel Maker actually dead-heated in this one last year, and then with Glorious Empire, and then chased Glorious Empire around there when he was second in the
short dancer.
So
that's right.
Co-defending champ back. I don't know, Glorious Empire is not. Wide-open race. I think you have to respect Chad Brown. I'm being real brave and going out on a limb there. Right? It would have to be a pretty sturdy limb, too, to hold me. Yeah, Primo is the most interesting of the Brown horses to me. He's coming from Chile. He's on a win streak. He's getting Lasix. I'd be curious to see what he's all about. There have been rumblings that he's a nice horse, and I'm not surprised. So he'd be, I think, the biggest threat to Channel Maker. It's a wide-open race, but if you really look last year, Mike, when they got Channel Maker back up to Saratoga, his career kind of turned a corner. And I think it's because he was handled a little differently. Joel Rosario has started keeping him a little closer to these paces, and I really think it's helped him. He used to be an out-the-back kind of horse, and Joel, on a slow pace, kind of sensed that, you know, maybe let me get this horse in the game a little earlier. And he did a fantastic job in the Bowling Green, and it's really turned him around. He got a couple of Grade 1 wins since in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic last year, the Man of War two starts back. I mean, look at the running line last time. Bricks and Mortar, Robert Bruce, Raging Bull. They'd all be 3-5 in here. So, yeah, it's a Grade 1 to a Grade 2, but this is a big drop down in class for him. I think he's the class of the class in here. I think he'll get the money. Yeah, Primo, you have to respect. Sadler's Joy always shows up. And my old boy, my old friend Focus Group, he's getting home. He loves Saratoga. He's 3-5. He doesn't mind a little giving the ground. He hasn't had a good run of it. He's only won once in his last four starts. He got lucky down at Gulfstream in the Pan Am, but I wouldn't be surprised if he woke up today at a price.
Yeah, it's a wide open race. I like Bigger Picture a little bit too. He's 10-1 on the morning line, and he has a huge marathon figure for me. So I think he's going to be pretty.
I walked out with Kirk Wyckoff yesterday. They mentioned they may scratch him.
Oh, really?
The scratchers came. Yeah, they mentioned they may scratch him for a spot at Ellis next week. One of those stakes races that's enhanced by the Abuse, as we say in Italian, from Kentucky Downs, kind of a Kentucky Downs preview day race.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice if he was out when I looked at the scratches just now. I apologize, but he may come out because of the draw and because of that 100 grand that down at Ellis next week. So just keep an eye on the scratches. And again, remember, because it's a stakes race, they can wait up until 45 minutes to post to take him out. I don't think Kirk would do that. I think they'll take him out sooner rather than later. But he may come out of that. Just a heads up.
The Grade 2 Jim Dandy is the 11th race on the program at Saratoga this afternoon. Post time 6:51 Eastern. It's the final race that you'll hear on our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast with Anthony and Mike Beer later today. Big A, is Louis Couture's stakes record in jeopardy today?
I don't believe so. And by the way, Jude, nobody has come out yet from the Bowling Green, but you can take out the number five from the Vanderbilt. So Mr. Crow will not be playing today. That's the only scratch in the three stakes at Saratoga. Track's fast and good. Main track fast, turf course labeled good. No, I don't think so, Baron. Again, like I just said, main track's labeled fast, but Tacitus, I'm a big fan of Tacitus today.
No.
Whether I'm right or wrong about Tacitus, I don't think he's ever going to set any track records. And I don't think if he falls, I don't just think there's anybody that's that fast in that race today. And, you know, coming off a track that was muddy yesterday, fast now, sure all the moisture's out, but track just hasn't been playing that fast, quite frankly. So, and I don't think these horses are that fast. I think you got a better chance with a horse like War of Will and a horse like Tacitus winning the distance races by grinding them down as opposed to having that real burst of speed. So, no, I think old Louis's record's safe today.
All right, and again, that Jim Dandy, 6:51 Eastern. Tacitus for the Big A. We'll see if he can get back on the winning track and maybe throw his hat into the ring for a three-year-old championship with a win in the Jim Dandy. Looks like about 2 minutes left here, Big A, before we have to wrap it up, get to our next commercial break, but want to give you an opportunity to talk about something happening in Saratoga tomorrow night. This is PDJF Day across America. Tomorrow night, we will celebrate Jockey Karaoke, which, in my opinion, one of the great events of the entire meet. It will take place at Vapor Nightclub in Saratoga, just a stone's throw away from Saratoga Racecourse. You will be part of that in some form or fashion.
Oh, I will be part of that in a big form and fashion. Along
biggest
with
jockey out
the
there.
Voice of Naira, the Triple Crown, the Breeders' Cup, and my Saratoga roommate, the announcer Larry Comas, the one and only Larry Comas. We will be performing as the halftime act tomorrow night at Vapor, The Real Slim Shady by Eminem. So if that's not worth the $75 general admission price, I really don't know what is, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge drop.
I don't know
for the local fans.
Florent Giroux usually comes out with something pretty good too.
Florent Giroux is bringing a knife to a gunfight tomorrow night.
How about the Ortiz brothers? Are they actually going to participate?
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they. The only shot they got at being better than Colmas and I is if they go reform Menudo, and I don't think that's happening.
Big A, look,
they're going to bring. We rehearsed Wednesday night. Larry and I are ready to roll. I guarantee an epic performance tomorrow night. Please go to pdjf.org, buy your tickets, donate, do both. We're going to have a blast tomorrow. It really is one of the funnest nights of the year. So come on out if you can.
Don't use them all up because Larry and I are going as Penn and Teller for Halloween.
That'll be fun. That'll be good. You're going to have to be the quiet one, right? Because you know Jockey keeping him quiet for 3 hours.
Yeah, don't forget, you can also text the word jockey to 50555 to donate $10 to the PDJF today, as it is PDJF Day across America. Anthony, appreciate the visit, brother, and thanks for picking up the coverage later this afternoon. We'll look forward to tuning in. 5:30 Eastern Time, you and Mike Beer will be live from our broadcast position at Saratoga, Sirius 138, XM 201, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, you got to come on by if you're out. Section B at the old spot right between the 16th pole and the wire across from the American flag. Baron, I'll see you Thursday.
All right, bud, we'll see you then. All right, Anthony Stabile here on HRRN. It is time for your monthly KTA-KTOB Kentucky Bred Spotlight, shining the spotlight on Kentucky Breds. And don't forget that the most coveted horses in the world are Kentucky Bred yearlings. Yeah, 83% of grade and group one winners that were offered as yearlings at public auction in North America are Kentucky bred. Think about that. 83%, 79% of graded and group winners that were offered as yearlings at public auction in North America are Kentucky bred. Yeah, you see a pattern here? Get your Kentucky bred yearling at Fasig Tipton Saratoga August 5th and 6th and at Keeneland September on September 9th through the 22nd. For more information, visit KentuckyBreds.com, and actually KentuckyBred.org is actually where you want to go for that one. KentuckyBred.org is your home to learn more about owning and buying Kentucky breds. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Airdrie Studs' summer front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, summer front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs' summer front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Power. Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Our thanks to Stanley Huff for taking the time to call in and join us in the first half of the program, and to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and to all of you who took time to call into the show and share some of your stories with us this morning. Really do appreciate that. It was a very special edition of the Equine Forum. And JT, before we wrap things up, I want to just make a note that you can indeed visit KentuckyBreds.com and KentuckyBred.org, either one of them. They're two separate sites, but that KentuckyBreds.com is pretty cool. You can head over there and check that out to learn more about Kentucky Breds. And how about a shout-out to Tone Broke, who put in that rally down the stretch last week to win the $400,000 Prince of Wales Stakes, the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown at Fort Erie, a son of Pin Oak stallion Broken Vow, who is, boy, so consistent. He has had so much success as a stallion, and now Tone Broke, his latest star.
Yeah, that was a great performance, and paid $13 and change. Unbelievable payoff for a horse that's been running really good.
Our poll question today, we wanted to know how the horse racing industry should react when it comes under fire or when it is criticized, and we gave you a few different choices. The unanimous one here, well, not unanimous, but the one that is just kind of running away with it, 63% of the vote, people saying we should defend ourselves better and promote all the positives and the good things about the sport. And you know what side of the fence I fall on. That's where I would vote.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yep, need to do a better job of that. 5:30 Eastern coverage Saturdays at Saratoga. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer. Make sure you're locked into that coverage later today. Next week, we'll be live from Saratoga with this show to get you set for the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale and for the Whitney. And, of course, we'll have coverage of the Whitney next Saturday live from the spa. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, handling all of our social media, for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.